It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan. Presented by Women's Excellence.
I'm Marie Osborne.
Dr. Jonathan Zaidan.
And tonight on WJR's Healthy Women Show,
we're going to have Rosanna Morris, the CEO of Beaumont Royal Oak.
Join us right here on WJR. Dr. Jonathan Zaidan, welcome to WJR. You lead the Women's Excellence OBGYN practice. You have several locations. So I guess the first question is, what led you to women's health? Why is that so important in your life?
Boy, that is a good question, because it's not only challenging, but it is so rewarding. When I was younger, I think when I first started medicine, my dad had some issues, and I thought for sure I was going to be a cardiologist. And I went into research for cardiology, and after doing the research, I was poised to become a cardiologist. But I realized that cardiologists don't do a lot of procedural-based things. And in that time period, I did an OBGYN rotation, and I loved it. I wasn't somebody who slept a lot, so I was able to be up all night, and there was always something to do. And I realized that even as a student, I was getting hugs from patients telling me how much they thanked me for being there, and I don't think that's ever left me.
You're really with a patient, aren't you, at the most important part of their life, at least when they're delivering a baby. I mean,
for
you can
sure
affect huge, huge change in their lives.
Well, there's no doubt. We impact, you know, their family, and they remember that, and they say, "Oh, well, Dr. Zaidan was there at when you know we delivered my first baby," or
right.
"Dr. Zaidan was there when you know my niece was born." And I hear that every day now, 20 years later. I've been in practice now 21 years, and now the practice isn't me; it's Women's Excellence. We have great providers throughout our whole office system. We have multiple locations, and in all those locations, there's a good provider. Some that are ancillary providers, like midwives, some nurse practitioners, and some physicians. And so we've really grown an organization.
And as this show rolls out, I know we're going to talk a lot more about all that great stuff that you do, especially the midwife program and all the different things that you've brought into your practice. I know you brought along Jessica Rossette with you. She's your communications specialist. We're so glad you could be here today, too, as well, to talk a little bit about, you know, what your role is in the practice.
Oh, man. You know, Dr. Zaidan and I, we work really close together, and I would say our number one priority is making healthcare easy for our patients, whether that's, you know, new communication methods through our website and making sure that they're up to date on all of our new services and offerings and new physicians we have and things like that. You know, we work every day to make sure that we're staying on top of it.
I talk to Jessica way too much at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I was going to say, you guys probably really have to have a close relationship to make it all work. How has women's healthcare changed since you first started in practice 20 years ago?
I think the biggest change that I've seen is minimally invasive surgery. I think it's changed everything. What we used to anticipate a long recovery now becomes more of a routine procedure. And I think that's one of the things that I focused on the most, is how do we make it more efficient for a patient to get from whatever disease process or problem that they have to fully recovered and back to their normal life. To me, it's all about quality of life. And I think minimally invasive surgery is probably the most impactful tool that we use to make that happen.
And diagnostically too, I mean, things are totally different than they were 20 years ago, and how you look at it, how you find disease.
The first time I saw an ultrasound machine, I thought I was looking at a snowstorm. Now in our offices, in multiple offices, we have 3D ultrasound. You can look at your baby and it looks
like
your
baby.
It's amazing, for sure.
Yeah.
But again, you know, being able to take a patient and do the procedure they need and get them, you know, out of a outpatient surgery center to their home in the same day after having a major procedure like a bladder suspension or a hysterectomy, that didn't happen 20 years ago.
Let's talk a little bit about men and their roles in women's health care. I mean, it's a pretty well-known fact that women affect men's health care, right, in the family. They, you know, they're all about their husband or partner's health care.
Well, I've said this in other segments in our show, in that it's clear that women tend to be the CEO of the household.
Got that right. You got that right.
Yeah. As long as we understand it, then everything works well.
But men have a role to play in women's health.
I think we do. I think we have a supportive role. So our role as a husband is to support our wives. And I realize that even though everything in society is going more towards equality, I realize that women have more challenges, I think, than men do, especially early on from a healthcare perspective, having a baby, potential loss of a baby, the whole problems that they have with the reproductive cycle and all the mm-hmm. things that they have to deal with on a monthly basis, and then some of the ramifications of aging on women from a reproductive perspective and also from their own anatomy, such as bladder control problems. It's all happens much earlier than it happens for men. So I think the big role of men in women's health as a husband would be support, right? As a physician, I think, you know, whether we're men or women, it doesn't really matter as long as we're empathetic. And I think that the one thing a man has is empathy. You know, sometimes women deal with the same problems that the women patient have dealt with. And as a male OBGYN, I realize that I have to be empathetic to their concerns.
Dr. Zaden, I know you're new to the radio game, so I'm going to tell you, you get to do the tease ahead. We have a really great guest coming up later in the show. Tell us about her.
Well, we have Rosanna Morris, the CEO of Beaumont Royal Oak, joining us, and we'll get a chance to kind of pick her brain a little bit about how she sees healthcare moving forward in the future, and I'm really looking forward to having her on.
Stay with us here on WJR. The Healthy Woman Show continues. Detroit is rich with women healthcare leaders, and among them is Rosanna Morris, president of Beaumont Hospital. Welcome to WJR's Healthy Woman Show, Rosanna.
Thank you.
We're thrilled you could be here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Listen, so glad to have you here. The CEO of Beaumont Royal Oak, right here with us. And tell us a little bit about you.
I am a mother of six, a little bit like the Brady Bunch, his, hers, and ours.
Wow.
Registered nurse by background. This coming to Beaumont, I've been here for 2.5 years, originally from San Francisco, California, a registered nurse by background, and happily married and really enjoying Michigan. Beaumont was actually an entity, a health system that I was familiar with where I came from in Omaha, Nebraska. I was with the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And Beaumont has been on the map nationally from an academic medical center perspective for several years. They have ranked, if you will, for their quality outcomes, for their patient satisfaction scores, and for their work in efficient care for many years. So I was familiar, as they had ranked, particularly the Beaumont Royal Oak Hospital, had ranked in the top 10 academic medical centers for 7 years in a row. So I was familiar with the name and how it competed quite effectively nationally against other academic medical centers. And then I literally got a call from a recruiter who shared with me the opportunity here in Michigan and with Beaumont. And 3 months later, I was planning a move here. It went fast, and it definitely was filled with, I think Beaumont Health was just coming together. It was a year or so after its merger with the three legacy entities.
And so that's the one Beaumont philosophy?
Yes, correct.
Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, you start, and all of a sudden now it's one Beaumont.
Yes.
And you're the part of the biggest one.
Yes. Beaumont Royal Oak represents about a third of all of Beaumont Health. No pressure there, right?
Yeah, and just a little pressure, I think.
Just a little bit.
I run a small company, right? Women's Excellence.
Yes.
But it's growing, and yes, I get a ton of challenges. I can only imagine what that was like coming into a third of all of one Beaumont.
You bet. And, you know, an exciting time, though, because I think particularly as someone who wasn't from the area and wasn't from one of the legacy health systems, just an opportunity to really get to know people, to understand the mission and the vision that the health system, the newly created health system, was trying to achieve, and how you navigate, you know, a campus and a place like Royal Oak towards that integration and developing that system of care that is really what Beaumont, as the largest health system in the state of Michigan, is trying to achieve, both for those who need care, but also preventative care as well.
So you're kind of a trendsetter. So some of the policies, procedures, and ideas that you bring into place, right, are also going to trickle down, so to speak, into other of your community hospitals.
Absolutely. I think Beaumont Royal Oak has, its legacy has been to always strive to be the very best. Not only the very best locally, but regionally and nationally. We recently, just in 2018, once again, 9 of our clinical programs made the top 50 for U.S. News and World Report. So what's important about that is that as we are striving to be the best clinically, we train over 550 residents and medical students. So our mission is a bit more complex in that we are there to provide the best in clinical care, but we are also a major force in terms of education and training physicians and other healthcare providers of the future. So how we do that, how we teach and train, and then retain, you know, a portion or a component of those that we train, but then also those that we train go out into our communities, the rest of the state, and beyond. So that transcends, if you will, the philosophies, the strategies, the initiatives, the outcomes of care that we're trying to impact beyond even Beaumont.
So that's a pretty big responsibility to start with, right? You
yes.
come in, and now it's all one Beaumont, and
yep.
and you're the top dog, so to speak, because it's a third of the organization. What's your challenge, day number one, first challenge?
Day number one was really just trying to know everything as quickly as possible and learning very early on that just the size and scale of Beaumont Royal Oak is such that luckily, having done this for many years, I knew that I just needed to take some time to get to know people. One of the wonderful things about Beaumont Royal Oak is that many of our physicians, we have over 2,100 physicians on our medical staff, and these are physicians like yourself that have been there for a long time, are very dedicated and committed, and have a lot to share in terms of experiences and
sure.
aspirations and learnings.
And so, medicine, too, not to interrupt, but medicine's an art, not only
correct.
A science, but it's an art.
Correct.
And we all do it a little bit differently, and we all have different empathetic styles and how we communicate with our patients. And obviously, the organization has to see that as well.
Correct. And it's how you bring those two together to really create an outstanding patient experience. That's I think, the art that you describe versus the science.
You're listening to WJR's Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Guest this segment is Rosanna Morris, president of Beaumont Hospital Royal Oak. And Rosanna, I'm curious, because you're wearing your nurse's pin, your RN pin today. What kind of skills did you bring as this leader for a major healthcare organization that you learned in nursing school and you practiced when you were a nurse?
That's a great question. I would say that as a nurse, first and foremost, you learn a few key things that have carried me my entire career. The first is how to care for patients. Really understanding that most of the folks that we interact with, not only the patients but their families, are dealing with unpredicted, understandably overwhelming circumstances. And so as a nurse, you understand how to treat the patient holistically, so not only what they need clinically, but what they need emotionally, sometimes spiritually, and how a nurse can impact an individual on all of those fronts. But you also learn that you're the conduit to for that patient and family to the health system. So whether it's to his or her physicians, whether it's to other members of the care team, whether it's to community services, the nurse is really sort of the gateway and can really be the linchpin.
In many cases, Rosanna, the nurse is everything to a patient,
the
right?
The face, 100%.
I mean, we all know, right? As physicians, we come in when we have contact with the patient. Sometimes we spend a great deal of time. Sometimes we spend less time.
You know, I think as a nurse, you learn to become a jack of many trades.
For sure.
And you also learn how to multitask because things are happening literally second to second, whether it's a patient's condition or the needs of the family or the needs of the provider group. And so you're constantly balancing those to make sure that the patient and their family is getting the best that you have to offer. You're also their advocate. You're also that communication channel to say, hey, you know, I don't think this patient is ready to go home, and here's why. So that's an important role.
That's truly like the early part of your leadership skills, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So things have changed. You're not a nurse anymore. You're now the CEO of Beaumont Royal Oak. So tell us about your leadership style now.
You know, although I am very far removed from the bedside and direct patient care, to your point, as you, I think, were alluding to, all of those skills and experiences is what I tap into each and every day, even in my role as a president of the hospital.
You are listening to Rosanna Morris, president of Beaumont Hospital Royal Oak, here on WJR's Healthy Woman Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Beaumont's commitment to women's health and family. Stay with us. You're listening to WJR's Healthy Woman Show. Our special guest, Rosanna Morris, president of Beaumont Hospital Royal Oak. Also joining us, as we heard earlier in the show, Jessica Roussette. She's the communications specialist for Women's Excellence.
You know, it's so inspiring for me to see a powerful female leader of one of the biggest hospitals. I can't even imagine what your day-to-day schedule looks like. How do you manage it? How do you relax? And then you mentioned that you have six kids. How do you manage your work-life balance?
So most days, not fantastically well, but we make it work. And what I mean by that is my husband is truly my partner in all things. And so I think really having a network of family that can help support us, make sure our kids are well attended to, make sure that things are in order from a family and a household perspective. You know,
I agree with that completely. It's, you know, in my household, you know, I help to run Women's Excellence and
yes.
provide a lot of care, and my wife is the CEO of our household.
That's it. Yeah. That's exactly
I don't get too many
right.
decisions, but...
you know, I you get it. I mean, I think, you know, my husband and I are full partners. He's a retired transplant surgeon, so he worked, you know, in clinical practice for 37 years, and it's fascinating to hear him say how this is the first time, he retired just before we moved to Michigan, how this is the first time that he's actually been able to experience raising children. And, you know, so for me, knowing that I've got a strong partner from a home-based perspective allows me then to be the best that I can be in the work environment.
I still think that our listeners would want to know, I mean, when do you start in the morning? And
yeah.
I know how
average
late
day.
Physician
average
meetings
day.
Go, right? I know,
yes.
I mean, right there at 7 o'clock, you know, 8 o'clock sometimes. When does it end?
So the clock sort of clicks, if you will, to start the day about 4:45. We live north, and so we have animals, domestic, but you know, I take our dogs out. That's my time, if you will, with the animals. So I take them out, I feed them, I make sure they're set up, and then I wake up the girls, and then
so you're a caregiver.
I am. That's the best part of my life, to be honest with you, is having that time with my family first thing in the morning. Right, let's start this day off right. And I'm usually in the car by 6:10, 6:15, heading in. So starting the workday around 7 a.m. most days. As you know, Dr. Zaden, we start early, we end late.
It's certainly tough. I mean,
it is.
Work-life balance, and certainly with a younger family is the toughest part of it, right?
So it is.
Just to get home and then deprogram. What
right.
time do you typically try to schedule to roll in the door?
So usually I try to head home between 5:30 and 6:30, if at all possible, because I've got about a 45-minute, sometimes an hour commute home.
Sure.
Although I'll say And I think many women, you know, we figure out our ways to decompress and decompensate so that we can enter that door and we're just ready to be mom or wife or partner. And so for me, you know, I'm already making phone calls to our other kids who don't live with us on my route home. You know, I thank God for texting and other venues of communication because I can stay close to the kids even through the workday.
Absolutely. I do the same thing.
Yeah. And we were very intentional as a couple. We have lived on land for years, and so we bought an acreage here when we came to Michigan. And it's a respite. So by the time I get home and we have dinner together, that's very important to us as a family, is that we have dinner together. And then the kids are off and doing their thing, you know, right before they go to bed. And my husband and I can just have downtime. And it just works.
Well, it's clear
that
community and family are super important to you.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I think that's one of the things that I see around Beaumont, right?
Yes.
The community is a big part of Beaumont.
Yes.
Jessica had an experience, a personal experience recently, which she'll share. And so how do you keep that community feel at Beaumont?
You know,
it's such a big organization, yet you walk in and there's a coffee shop and a small restaurant and,
yes.
you know, and a lot of people in a very large room talking, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's all part of a community, and you see it right when you walk in that South Tower.
And it was amazing. You know, when my daughter was in the hospital, we were there for 3 nights, and I stayed the entire time. I never even stepped foot outside. And when we were finally discharged, I remember talking with my husband saying, we didn't feel like we were at a hospital.
Yes.
And that was, you know, the biggest
yes.
thing was, you know, being at the hospital didn't feel like being at a hospital.
You know, I love hearing you say that because we are very, very focused on creating an experience for patients and families that if you have to be in the hospital, let's make it the best we can make it for you with services and access to those things that you typically wouldn't find, hence our, you know, the Starbucks and the Papa Joe's and the Woodward Corners development, which is going to be a massive retail community, literally steps from Beaumont Royal Oak Hospital, that is going to have a grocer and a hotel and breakfast shops and, you know, just things that our patients, our families, our team members, folks can just go get what they need, have a few minutes away, walk back to the campus.
So you not only built this for the patients and the families, but you also built it for your employees, right?
We recognize how hard people work in a hospital environment. And oftentimes, as we just talked about, you know, if you're starting at, you know, 7 a.m. or 6:30 in the morning and leaving at 7 or 7:30 at night, you often don't have time to stop at the grocery store on the way home or pick up something to eat because your family is waiting for you for dinner. I mean, how many times have we
The listeners
not done
can't
that,
see me,
right?
But you can see me shaking
yes.
my head up and down for sure. I mean,
yes.
That is all of our challenge, right?
It is. And so to be able to literally just walk, you know, a few steps to a place where you can have those choices, we think is hugely important. And Beaumont, this was before my time, but they had surveyed. They actually surveyed the community. Over 6,000 people responded. And that is who they got the feedback from before the development of Woodward Corners, what they wanted and what they needed. So I just have to share with you, Jessica, one last thing about the environment. I remember when I first started, I was a little surprised that we had farmers markets there every week. And in the wintertime, as you guys know, we bring the vendors for the farmers market inside of the mm-hmm. South Tower.
Yep, we see them.
And I thought, oh, this is, you know, this is kind of different, right? But it's different in all the right ways because it's yet another activity, another venue where you see staff, you see patients, you see families down there.
So, you know, you've got everything going on and Beaumont One is on board. What's the vision? Everybody's going to want to know that.
I think one of the biggest strategic imperatives for Beaumont is to when patients and families need acute care or hospital-based care, we are there. We're number one. But we also view the role that Beaumont has and the capability that Beaumont has in terms of community-based and preventative care. So one of the most important initiatives that is launched and will continue is our ambulatory expansion. So this is where Beaumont is going live, if you will, not with hospital beds per se, but venues of care that will offer diagnostic, imaging, lab capabilities, clinics, in areas where we may not be today. In addition to that, Beaumont is scheduled to launch and open 30 urgent care centers because we recognize that right now the only venue of care for so many of us is the emergency center. And yet that's probably for many, not all. There are other options that patients should have that are quicker, just as efficient, less costly, and offer exactly what they need in terms of diagnoses and care.
That mirrors exactly what we're doing at Women's Excellence.
Is that right?
Our goal is to provide efficient and compassionate care.
Right.
We know that people have challenges. We know that they get large bills from the services that we provide.
Right.
And it's so important to us. It's so important as we reach out to them through our constant contacts and as we reach out to them as providers to make sure that we're minimizing their costs
right.
while giving them the same experience. And that's difficult to do, but it's something that we have to do as leaders in
exactly.
healthcare. Rosanna, we've talked so much in the past about community and family, but it goes more than that for Beaumont, right?
It
goes to all the community outreach activities that you have. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Tell our listeners, you know, what does Beaumont offer outside of just coming to the hospital and getting their care? They also have just a myriad of other services.
You know, it's critical, I think, to highlight Beaumont's commitment, as you've described, Dr. Zaidan, to the community. One of the programs that I am personally and professionally excited about is our Noble program. So we hear a lot about children, for example, that are experiencing bullying in the school environment. And so our Noble program actually offers services and resources for families and those kids.
So obviously that's a very, very current topic. So
it
your community
is.
Outreach efforts, they morph as needed.
Exactly. And I think that's where Beaumont has been very strategic and intentional about what are the needs of our community. And then to the best of our capability, what are services that are not yet developed or need to be met so that we can intersect those needs with our offerings. And so whether it's, you know, for our women, as you care for, you know, that are in need, you know, they're in pregnancy and they're in need of parental, you know, first time I'm going to be a mom.
For sure.
You know, how does that work? What do I need to know?
Somebody walks out, much like you, you know, being a nurse, right? I sometimes am mystified by how we take this patient who comes into the hospital and we give them great care.
Right.
And we get a baby to the world.
That's right.
And now we basically say, okay, you have to have a car seat and have a nice day.
Exactly.
And, you know, obviously we don't do it that way, and there's a lot of nursing education that goes on in that time period, but it's just not enough to be a parent.
No. And you can't, I think the one thing that we've learned in healthcare over and over and over again is the time to teach and educate is not in the moment that I've just delivered a baby and or a crisis has occurred in my life or with my family. And so I think that's where our offerings for parental education. For patients, you know, cancer. Cancer is huge. We are the number one provider of cancer care for hospital-based patients in the state of Michigan. And so it's our mission, if you will, to really encourage communities, patients and families to go through, you know, diagnostic screening if they're at risk. Because we know that the key to cancer care is finding it early, right?
Prevention is number one.
It is. And
I tell people this all the time. They say, well, you know, why do I have to have this test? And I said, well, because if you have this test, and we find something, we've taken care of it.
That's right.
Now.
That's
and
right.
That may be the only time that we have to take care of it, and it might be something simple as opposed to all the adjuvant therapies like chemotherapy
right.
and radiation therapy.
Yes.
That's very taxing on people. If we can find it early, we can treat it better.
Exactly. And I think that's where Beaumont is going to continue to be very proactive and very public about encouraging patients, families, communities to lung screening, colorectal screening, breast screening. You know, how many of us can't tell a story about a family member ourselves or a neighbor who has been diagnosed with cancer? We know those stories. So Beaumont wants to be right out in front to say, it's okay. Let's test and diagnose so that we can intervene as quickly as possible. So, I mean, there's just a myriad of services that we offer and will, I think, continue to grow and offer in the future as Beaumont continues to shift its focus. Not only we do hospital care extremely well, we want to make sure that we are complementing that hospital base with community-based care.
Well, I'll tell you, I have an experience that shaped my career. And it was when I first started practice, I was doing some complicated surgeries and hysterectomies, and we had a lady that came in, and she was the sweetest lady, and she had a grade one endometrial cancer. And she was so worried, and I had so much time because I was brand new in right. practice, and I must have seen her and her family members at least 10 to 12 times.
Right.
Preoperatively.
Right.
So they came in and they asked every question you could think of, and we got her through the surgery, and I assured her that I thought that she would do well. When we got the pathology report back, because we found it relatively early, she did extremely well. It was a grade one tumor, and you know, it was not something that needed any additional treatment.
Right.
My surgery cured her.
Right.
The unfortunate thing is that she fell on her deck 2 months later and broke her hip and passed away from a pulmonary embolus.
You're kidding.
And it has totally changed how I treat patients. I am so much the advocate of bone mineral density testing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone in our office, it's always at the front desk, BMD and follow-up, right? They have to have
right.
it. Because I realize that, you know, it's those preventative measures that actually change things.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I love your commitment in that regard, because I think that's how we in medicine and healthcare can truly change illness and disease. And that's being on the front and being proactive, finding things early and helping communities. And that's how we're going to reduce the cost of care. Because those things that you describe, that is less expensive than a hospitalization, a surgical procedure, and it's much more effective in terms of keeping people healthy.
Right.
So
and
I think
it's our job as leaders, right, to educate
exactly.
All of our patients, right?
Right.
And then all of our providers and all of the caregivers to understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Right.
So that when the patient asks, well, why do I have to have that bone density? They can actually reiterate, hey, it's very important that you have that test.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how another opportunity for us as a healthcare system and physicians, how do we work together?
Well, I have to wrap this up with one thing.
Yes.
So, you know, I shared a story with you.
Yes.
What's the best patient story or the most heartfelt patient story that you have?
Gosh.
I'm putting you on the spot a little bit.
You are, but that's okay. I have to say, it's happened to me twice, which is sort of ironic, both during my time in Nebraska and literally shortly after I arrived here in Michigan, where different states, different people, different circumstances, but similar in terms of what happened. So in both of these instances, had a family who was driving and involved in a motor vehicle accident. In both instances, one of the family members did not survive, and that family member was a child. And in both instances, the hospitals rallied around the survivors, those that they were caring for, who were now their patients, but also dealing with the loss of a child, which is unimaginable, right? I mean, talk about being just completely taken, you
know,
brought to your knees.
Everyone comes together when that happens.
Exactly.
It doesn't miss touching anyone on your team.
Exactly. And you talked about the art versus the science of healthcare. And to me, it didn't matter if I was in Nebraska or if I was here at Beaumont in Michigan, the response was the same, where these care teams came together and did miraculous interventions beyond their scope, beyond what was required, to ensure that these families and these patients had a bridge, could have closure. In both instances, we were able to unite the parent, that family member, with their child. Because when those things happen, there is no closure, right? You're being, you know, helicoptered to, you know, a healthcare facility while your child is being cared for in a very different way, right? Because they have not survived.
It's almost hard to imagine.
It is. It's the unspeakable, yet in both places, the response was the same by the care teams, to say, how do we bring closure for this family and provide some level of peace and reconciliation that, again, is well beyond what was required or anyone could even ask for. And I just get like chills, because I never thought I would live that experience again of seeing how a tragedy can turn like that. And yet it happened here in Michigan. For me as a healthcare leader, it just doesn't get better than that.
Well, I think it's a gift that we have you as a healthcare leader in Detroit.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think your vision and your compassion and your understanding of the system is unbelievable.
Thank you, Dr. Zaidem. I will say, though, if I've learned one thing in healthcare beyond the things that we've discussed, is simply this: healthcare is really beyond an individual. Healthcare is truly a team sport. And so as we see, you know, people come and go, and, you know, a strong healthcare system embraces all of those talents and just keeps moving forward. And so for me, I've been privileged and blessed to have done the work that I have done, but I know it's really because of the people that I've had the honor of working with and surrounding
myself. I agree with you 100%. I think even today, our interview today is a part of that, right?
Yes.
I mean, we are a team.
That's right.
Women's Excellence and all of the
and
hospitals
Beaumont,
that we work with, and Beaumont Royal Oak, and the Labor and Delivery Unit, and
exactly,
all the nurses there, and every caregiver that touches our patients, we're a big team.
That's right.
And if we don't play the team well, we're not going to do well.
That's
so,
right.
You know, I think
that's
it's right. Most important that we continue to, you know, work together as a group, you know, and ultimately make our patients, you know, feel better, because they know we're all on the same page.
Right.
And I think I see that doesn't always happen, especially when you have so many people coming in and out of a system. But it's really important that, you know, like events like today allow us to do that even better.
Exactly.
You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Rosanna Morris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh,
you've been a delight.
Pleasure.
And such insight into how isn't Oakland County's number one employer?
Yes.
Beaumont Hospital.
Exactly,
so we received some great insight into Beaumont Hospital today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for being
Thanks
here.
To all of you. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Healthy Woman Show with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidem has been presented by Women's Excellence.